Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God. The title of the message today is Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Today is the day that we remember and commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, meaning good news, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I declare to you the gospel. If you're here this morning and you've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, really understood what Jesus Christ came to do for you, for this whole world, it's that he came to give his life. It says that he was crucified for our sins. He was crucified. He took our sins upon him. This is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. We had no way to atone for our sins, to cleanse our sins. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. And the resurrection was the proof that his sacrifice for our sins had been accepted and that we have been made right with God. If Jesus had not been resurrected, it would have meant that his life was the life or the death of an ordinary man, that he died as a sinful man and he would not have been raised, no more than any son of Adam. But the fact that he was resurrected was the proof that he was the Son of God, that his sacrifice was accepted, and that we have been made right with God. Today, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. John 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It says the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. Jesus came out of the wilderness temptation at this point, 40 days where he defeated every temptation of Satan against him. And as he came out of the wilderness after those 40 days and came back to the Jordan, John saw him approaching and he announced to all the people that were there, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The next day as well, it says in a following verse that again, as he was with two of his disciples, that John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that day, his disciples no longer followed him, but they began to follow Jesus of Nazareth, the true Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 19 says, Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, purchased with the blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ, the precious Lamb of God. In Exodus 12, in the Old Testament, God told his people, I want each of you to take a lamb for a house. And he says, I want the entire family to come under the protection of the lamb. And they were to take the lamb, each father, and kill the lamb and apply that triune application to the two side posts and the lintel over the door. And as they did that, and they stayed inside the house under the protection of the blood, under the means that God had given to save the people, every son, every daughter, every member of that family had to stay under the blood and in the house under the covering of the Lord, or there was no protection. And that night, the angel of judgment went through the lamb and land, and every house that didn't have the blood applied, there was death in that house, represented in the firstborn of every family, that house was under judgment and under death. God said to his people, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the judgment will not come into your houses to strike you. Where I see the blood, I will pass over you, literally to spread the wings over. God says, I will come and protect and shelter the people that are under the blood of the Lamb, because they have been redeemed, they have been purchased, and their sins have been forgiven. How wonderful today that we have the blood of Christ over our lives and over our families, that we belong to God, that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is our precious Lamb, and we understand who He is, and we've received Him into our lives. We are the recipients of the gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This morning I want to show a couple pictures on the screen, pictures we took recently at Shepherd's Field in Bethlehem. And the first one is of myself, and you can see I'm holding a precious little lamb. So soft, trusting. There was a little boy outside Shepherd's Field. You can see the sign in the background in Bethlehem. And he had this little lamb, and you could hold this lamb for a couple minutes and give him a tip. And I wanted to hold this lamb because I've never held a lamb like that, in that way. And I held that precious little lamb, and I felt its surrender. It was entirely gentle. It was entirely surrendered. No struggle in it at all. So trusting, so lovable, so precious. And now let's go to the next picture, which is a better picture. One of our church members, Rose Pugh, her husband Fred as well, came and were part of the tour. And there is Rose with that precious little lamb. And you can see its eyes and you can see its face. And how beautiful, how precious the lamb is. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Now, as I held that lamb, my heart struck me how precious, how trusting, how lovable, how surrendered that little lamb was. And I said to myself, as I thought of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and I thought of Jesus Christ, my lamb, I said to myself, I can't imagine taking this precious lamb that is so trusting in my hands, that I would take this lamb and shed its blood at an altar of sacrifice, and in its surrender that I would take it and take its life. And I texted my family and said, I can't imagine having to take a lamb like this to the altar to die on my behalf. And reply came back, He did it for you. And I returned and I said, it's too much what He did. It's too much what He did. And I still feel that way to this day, though I've walked with the Lord for many years. It's too much what He did for us. In the Old Testament, to atone for the sin of your soul, you were required to bring a lamb and shed its blood. This was in light of the blood of Christ that would eventually be shed for the sins of all mankind. But in the Old Testament, you brought your lamb to the altar, and with a quick cut of a sharp knife to the neck of the lamb, the blood would flow. You had confessed your sins over that lamb. You'd laid hands on that lamb and said, I'm the one that's guilty. I deserve to die. But there you took your precious lamb, and your lamb's life went in your place. And you know your heart was in your throat. See, God wanted His people, when they brought that precious lamb, to have that the terror of their sin, the awfulness of their sin, strike them at the heart. He wanted their emotions involved. When they saw how awful their sin was and how appalling it was to be able to take a lamb and have it die, a precious lamb that was like a household pet. Because God said, you cannot bring wild game off the fields or out of the bush. You can't go out and capture some animal to which you have no relationship, no affection. And you can't and bring that to my altar. God said, no, I want you to bring something that is very dear to you. This little lamb that's grown up with your children and been in your possession for a while. And it's so tender and loving. You love it like a precious pet, like a household pet. God says, I want you to take that lamb and you go to the altar and you shed its blood and let the awfulness of your sin strike you at the core. And thank God for His redemption, and thank God for His forgiveness and His cleansing on your life. Now, in Old Testament days, there was There was mercy because it was a quick cut to the neck of the lamb, and the blood would flow and the lamb would bleat, but its bleat would become faint and its life would dissipate before your eyes, and that lamb would die in your place and you would be justified before God. But when it came to the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the judgment was unmitigated. You didn't take your lamb in Old Testament days and beat it bloody, but as Isaiah 53 says, when it came to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that he was bloodied and he was beaten for the sins of the people, and that the wrath of God was not held back, but the full wrath of God due upon our sin, the judgment blow due upon our sin, landed full force on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And not only a lamb, but a son, the one of whom the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That one was beaten bloody for the sins of the people. I still can't grasp what he did for us. I still can't comprehend, I can't understand why he did it for us, a people so undeserving, a people so sinful, a people so flawed. Lo, these many years have come and gone in my life, and I still say I can't understand it. It's too much what he did. It's too much what he did. Now let's go to Psalm 22 this morning. Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Crucifixion. I want to go through this psalm today, all 31 verses. Psalm 22. And let the message of the cross impact our souls in a fresh way today. Psalm 22 is a psalm of two persons. One, an afflicted Christian. Two, the afflicted Christ. An afflicted Christian and the afflicted Christ. The one, the afflicted Christian, is delivered. And David is giving witness to the pressure on his life and how Saul was hunting him to the death, but David found deliverance. The second, the afflicted Christ, goes to the fury of the wild dogs. He goes to the goring of the bulls of Bashan and the tearing of the lion upon his life. One was delivered, the other went to the fury of the beasts. This psalm is so accurate in its description of the cross of Jesus Christ and what he experienced at Calvary that it almost reads like history instead of prophecy. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross above all other psalms. It begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it ends with, it is finished. Now, in our Bibles, it might not read that. The last verse says to us, the final phrase, that he has done this, that God has done this. But according to the original, as some say, it should say, it is finished. And in fact, the Amplified Bible Contemporary Version notes this and puts it in its brackets, that it is finished. A psalm that begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And ends with those triumphant words that Jesus uttered when the sacrifice on the cross was complete, it is finished. He broke the power of sin, he broke the power of Satan, and he ushered in everlasting righteousness. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross. Let's look at it together as we go down. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We all know of that desolate cry of our Lord as he hung on the cross from noon till 3 p.m. and how he uttered those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's one thing to have been betrayed by Judas. It's one thing to have been denied by Peter and abandoned by the disciples, but it's something altogether to have been forsaken by God himself, by his Father, and it shows us the cost of our sin, that Jesus Christ was utterly forsaken as he bore our sin and endured the judgment of God on the cross. He said, why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Obviously, David's life is mixed and mingled in with the words of the cross, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Said, our fathers trusted and they were delivered, but he said, I am a worm, trodden underfoot, trampled underfoot of men, and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Words in Matthew 27 that Christ spoke on the cross. It seems very certain that Jesus uttered these words, this entire psalm on the cross, that it brought strength to his spirit. That if you listen close when he was hanging there for the sins of men, that he was speaking out these words so that his spirit would be stirred and his heart would be held firm by the word of God. The taunts and jeers that he received as he hung on the cross. He says, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. His birth of the Virgin Mary. He says, I was cast upon you from birth. He said, Lord, I was placed in your hands. My parents dedicated me to you. You cared for me. From my mother's womb, you have been my From my mother's womb, you have been my strength and my help. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Many bulls have surrounded me, infuriated, enraged, longing to gore him to death. And there he was, helpless. He was defenseless. He was unprotected. He says, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, a broken piece of pottery. And my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen or the wild unicorns. You have answered me. Verses 1 to 21 are so turbulent, and then comes the great calm, like the calm after a storm. And all of a sudden, there's such a change. And Jesus on the cross, he's saying these words. Verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Jesus is encouraging us to praise the Lord, to lift up our voices and magnify the Father. You descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Jesus says, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. You mean Jesus has vows upon him? Yes, he does. He has promises. He has covenant oath on his life that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations of the world, and that a redeemed company will come out of every kindred, tribe, people, and nation. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. The poor in his spirit, those who are hungry for the Lord will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. Those are the people of the Lord, the prosperous. Those who've come into the salvation of the Lord, they shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. King James says, and none shall be able to keep his soul alive. No man can keep his soul alive. That is the stern warning of the gospel right there. That if we reject the Lord, there is no life, there is no salvation, but there's everlasting destruction and banishment from the Lord. There is a heaven and there is a hell. None can keep alive his own soul. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation or for a generation. A posterity shall serve him. You know, God will always have a people. God will always have a people, generation to generation. Though some disregard him and fall away, God will always have a people that draw and desire him. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He says, we have no need to fear the true apostolic succession. That is safe enough. Verse 31, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this, or that it is finished. That it is finished. The salvation of the Lord, the work of the cross through Jesus Christ our Lord. The work of the cross. It is finished. It is finished. When we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find out that Jesus put forth that cry, it is finished, before he dismissed his spirit. The sacrifice that purchased our salvation was complete before Jesus died a physical death. The sacrifice was complete. And then the Bible says he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. He released his life from the earth. Because you see, in the end, the dogs of darkness didn't take him down. Tossed on the horns of the unicorns and gored by the wild bulls and torn by the lion. But in the end, they didn't take him down. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I lay it down willingly. I am the one who will give my flesh. I will give my life for the life of this world. In the end, the dogs of darkness didn't take him down. He cried out, it is finished. The sacrifice is complete. The work of salvation is done. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, Psalm 22 has a strange title affixed to it in the superscription. In the English, we say it's the psalm, and it's said it's called Agelus Shahar, or Ayeleth Shacher in the Hebrew. The hind of the morning, the deer of the dawn, or the morning heart. Agelus means the hind or the deer, and Shacher means the morning or the dawn of the day. And many have been perplexed by this title. What does it mean? Why would a title about the deer of the morning be affixed to such a psalm of death and darkness and destruction? There's also the image there of the rising of the sun in those words, that when the morning sun breaks over the mountains and those first rays shoot over the hills and over the horizon, it's like the horns of a gazelle, the dazzling horns of power, those rays of power shining out over a dark world and scattering the darkness. Comparing this language to the gazelle and to the glory of the Lord, it would speak of Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. You know, this title, Agelus Shahar, the hind of the morning heart, the breaking of the sun across the earth, has perplexed some scholars who looked at it, but it's no mystery to us. It's no perplexity to us, because we know who the hind of the morning is, and we know who the Son of Righteousness is today. It's not hidden from us. Out of the psalm of crucifixion comes the morning sun. Out of the psalm of crucifixion comes he who is the deer, springing and bounding in life. This is the one. This is the one of whom the angels announce, he is not here. He is risen as he said. This is Jesus Christ the conqueror. This is Jesus Christ the one triumphant over death, sin, and the powers of darkness. He now treads the high places of the earth. He has defeated every foe of darkness. He's broken every demonic power. He's broken the gates of hell. And he set a people free. And we live in his life and we live in his power. We know who the hind of the morning is. We know who the heart of the day is, the morning heart. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. The heart, the hind of the morning. Let's go to Matthew 27. I want to look at these scriptures in the Gospels, so beautiful. Matthew 27, first of all, the hind of the morning sun. It's like we pick up Psalm 22. Right here in Matthew 28, 1-6. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, to women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Verse 1, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn. Now let's look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, 1-2. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And verse 9, now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. When Jesus rose early, the first day of the week, this is the hind of the morning. This is the morning heart. This is the son of righteousness. And then Luke 24 as well. Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Notice again verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Jesus Christ is the hind of the morning. He's the deer of the dawn. He's the son of righteousness that came out of Psalm 22, out of the psalm of crucifixion, to bring light into a world, to bring blessing. He's the one who now dances on mountains and hills. He treads the high places of the earth. He's the victor over all things, and he is alive forevermore. And the glorious truth is that we are alive forevermore in him. For in him our lives, our old life, our sinner life, was also crucified and put to death and was buried in the grave. And we have risen with Christ to new life, to live forever. Eternal life is not something we're waiting to step into one day when we exit this world. Eternal life is something we entered into the moment we were born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Zoe. I am the God life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He that lives and believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He said, can you believe this? Do you believe this? And this morning we accept the resurrection of our Lord. We know we're alive forevermore in Jesus Christ. He's the hind of the morning. He's the morning heart. He's the Son of Righteousness. David said in Psalm 18:33, he said, the Lord has given me the feet of a deer. The Lord has given me the feet of the morning heart, that I may tread, that I may walk upon my high places. I want you to know this morning that for every one of us, there is a high place where we can walk. David made it personal. He said, I've got a high place where I can go in God. I can tread on the high places of the earth. I can rise above where other men and women live. I can live in the glory of God. I can walk in the heavenly places. I can walk on air in Jesus Christ my Lord. The prophet Habakkuk said, in a time where he was in trouble, in turmoil, very upset about circumstances in his life and difficulty that was coming, but he said, the Lord will make my feet like the feet of a deer, that I may ascend into my high places. He said, I can ascend into my high places. Habakkuk said, doesn't matter what I face down in the earth. There can be darkness, there can be difficulty, but one thing I know, that I have the feet of a deer in Jesus Christ my Lord. He's the morning heart, and I've got the feet of a deer just like him, because I have his spirit, I have his life, I have his character in me. And Habakkuk said, anytime I need to and anytime I want to, I can take the feet of a deer. You've got to use the feet of a deer that God's given you. He said, I can begin to go upward. He said, I can begin to ascend and ascend. I can go higher. I can go higher in my God until I leave this world behind. And I can leave the difficulty and the heaviness of this world behind, because I've got a place where I walk in high places in the victory of my God. And nothing in this world can touch me. Nothing in this world can touch me. It's a place inaccessible to the powers of Satan and to the voices of men. It's a place where you can walk in God in victory, because we've got the hind of the morning in us. Hallelujah. 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 You know, on the cross, Jesus Christ faced the dogs. He faced the dogs, snapping, snarling, tearing upon his life and upon his being. But when it comes to you and I, think of it this morning. Jesus Christ faced the lion. He faced the sword. He faced the wild unicorns. He faced the bulls of Bashan. They had their day. The dogs snarled upon him. Those dogs had their day on Jesus Christ. But when it comes to you and I, when we got saved, as the Bible says of the Israelites, as they came out of Egypt that night that they put the blood on their houses, that not a dog of darkness could even move his tongue against them. Not a dog of darkness could open his mouth against the children of Israel, against their own lives, and even against their beasts. Their beasts represented their transportation, their travel. Those beasts represented their livelihood, their occupations. The Bible says not a dog of Egypt could open its mouth against the people of God who were saved by the blood and by all their possessions and all their occupation and all their travels. The enemy was silenced. The enemy was muzzled. What a victory in our lives. What a victory in our lives. My, you think of that night. As they came out of Egypt at midnight, the angel of judgment went through the land, and the firstborn in the houses of the Egyptians died. The world people that were out without the blood, there was death and judgment. But in the people of God, there was life and there was light. And that night they packed up after midnight. It might have been 1 or 2 in the morning when they got their belongings together, and they began to march out of Egypt. Can you imagine the dogs of Egypt in the middle of the night? Maya would have been poised for every sound, vibrating at every disturbance that was going on. And yet the Bible says they couldn't open their mouth. Their mouths were muzzled when it came to the people of God. There's not a demonic power that can raise its voice against you, against me, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not a demonic power that can raise its voice against our occupation, against our travels, against our journeyings in this life. We are set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we walk in the victory of God. when Joshua went to take the promised land. I just quoted Exodus 11:7. But now Joshua 10:21, when Joshua went to take the promised land to give the people of God their inheritance, not only saved out from death, but given something in this life that they were to enjoy and expand and be fruitful for their families and their living. That as we go out to take our inheritance in Jesus Christ, again it says that this time no man opened his mouth against the people of God. No man opened his mouth. No man could open his mouth against the people of God because of the victory that God was given them. In Exodus 11 and verse 7, Satan was silenced, every dog of darkness. In Joshua 10:21, every man was silenced. There's not a voice of accusation that can take us down. There's not a voice of accusation that can be lifted against us because Jesus Christ's salvation is so pure, it's so clean, it's so free, it's so full and thorough upon our lives. I trust we can hear that this morning. And we go on a little farther in the Word, and the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that will rise against thee in judgment, you shall condemn. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. That voice of the flesh, that voice of people tearing you down, that voice that tells you you're not good enough, that voice that has that negativity, that voice of Satan, that voice of accusation, that voice that comes to pull at us at some times and remind us of past sins and remind us of our failures and remind us of our own inabilities. That voice, the Bible says, every voice that rises in judgment against you, you will condemn. This is the heritage. This is the reward. This is the inheritance of the people of God. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. And their righteousness comes from me, says the Lord. What a victory. What a Savior. Let's stand together this morning and read Romans chapter 8. Verses 33 to 39. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns you? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yes, we face persecution. Yes, we face trial, refining fires. We face reproach, but yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That's the gospel today. That's what the Lord has done for us. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. This morning, how precious our Savior is. Precious Lamb that we carry on our behalf. In Scripture, Jesus isn't called the sheep of God. He's called the Lamb of God. And there's even a diminutive form from Amnos, lamb, to Arneos, which is a little lamb. So precious, so beautiful. In the book of Revelation, the book of triumph, the book of God's great victory, 28 times we find the title, the Lamb of God. And each time it's that word for that fluffy little lamb, so precious, that shed his life and gave his life for us. When John saw him in Revelation 5 as he was in the throne and the throne vision was taking place, and a cry went out, "Who is able to take the scroll and to loose the seven seals?" That scroll was the title deed to the planet, a planet that needed to be redeemed, or it would spin on forever in its sin, in its darkness, in its futility, lives broken under the curse of sin and under the power of the Satan. And the cry was lifted, "Who is worthy to take the scroll and to loose the seals thereof and to bring history to a proper conclusion and to trounce sin and bring in everlasting righteousness in a new world one day?" And no one was found worthy. No one was found worthy to take the title deed of the planet. And John, knowing what was at stake, began to weep. He said, I wept much. He said, tears began to flow down my face. He said, I can't imagine this world spinning on forever in its darkness and its sin. Until one of the elders of heaven came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, John, he said, dry your tears. There is one who is worthy. There is one worthy. Take a look at the throne. And John, he said, there's the one who's worthy. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And John lifted his eyes, and expecting to see a lion, he saw a fluffy little lamb with fresh blood still on its wool. The days of Calvary had come and gone, and yet he saw a lamb, and there was still fresh blood on its wool. And we know that he's the lion, the conqueror, because he is the lamb, the spotless sacrifice. This morning, I want to let us know once again that there is fresh blood on his wool today. Still today, the blood will never lose its power. The blood is as alive today, the blood of Christ to redeem us from sin, to protect our families, to guide our future, to shut the mouths of the dogs of darkness. That blood is as powerful and effective today as it was the day that he cried on the cross, "It is finished." Our victory is secure in Jesus Christ. Those beautiful words of Andre Crouch's song, "The blood will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the deepest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts, calms my fears, and that precious blood dries all my tears. The blood will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus gives us strength from day to day." This morning, let's open our hearts to the Lord and thank him for the blood that he shed for us. He's our precious lamb, the precious blood of Christ, so precious, so surrendered, so beautiful. There's no Savior like our beautiful Lord. And today, Lord, we thank you. We behold the Lamb of God today. We behold the Lamb of God afresh today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've still got fresh blood on your wool. Blood so powerful to cleanse us today and in this place, Lord. Let every one of us open up our hearts right now for your cleansing, for your healing, for your strength. Let the beauty of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings come upon us. Lord, we see you breaking across the mountains and hills of earth, Lord, dazzling horns of power, for you're the gazelle of heaven. Lord, you've come, you've set us free. We now rejoice. We bound with you. We're strengthened because of you. In the name of Jesus. Let's lift our song unto the Lord this morning. If there are any here this morning that need a fresh touch of the Lord upon your life or spirit, please slip out from where you are. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you say today, I want to give my life to the Lord, please come out from where you are. Come to the presence of the Lord. Don't let another day go by. You need the salvation of the cross. You need the work of Jesus Christ in your life to set you free so you can truly live the life that he destined for you. Any others this morning, please make your way down. Let's give ourselves to the Lord wherever we are. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord.